Welcome to the Person and the Power podcast with Pastor Tim Johnson, as he invites us to cultivate a deep and profound relationship with the Holy Spirit of the living and loving God. After 25 years of ministry, Pastor Tim's desire is that all of us would experience both the Spirit's transformational intimacy and the supernatural activity in our daily lives. Now, here's Pastor Tim.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I hope and pray wherever this podcast finds you, it finds you well and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to add the third one, dry. My gosh. Come on. Okay, Noah, we get it. I am in my office, thundering, lightning, already raining a little bit. We're under flood watches and flood warnings again, third time in 3 weeks. Goodness gracious, we still haven't found our steps. Well, actually, technically, we have found our steps. We just haven't pulled them out of the 14, 15 foot high tree that they're in. Oh my gosh. You'll never hardly ever find me complaining about anything. You hardly ever will find me complaining about the weather. The day is the day, right? The day is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so I'm just never a complainer about the weather. I like all kinds of weather. I like rainy days. I like snowy days. I like sunny days. I like foggy days. But I see flood watches and flood warnings. I'm thinking, seriously? Seriously? Again? Anyway, I hope and pray wherever you are, it's dry. I really do. Because it ain't dry here. And it's not going to be dry for a while, it sounds like. Sounds like it's going to be more storming and more weather. So anyway, hey, bless you. We are excited to have you again at the podcast. I want to invite you to the gala, August the 27th. It's going to be the theme is Impact, Invite, Invest. If the Joshua Center has had an impact on your life, then we are going to invite you to invest. If you've heard about how the impact of the Joshua Center has changed someone's life, which you will through videos. Watch on Thursdays on Facebook. You'll see the videos. Teresa Blight was the first one last week. Jim Ike was this week. But also Wednesdays, every Wednesday, there'll be a promotion on the gala and something of the Joshua Center. So Wednesday, Thursday, watch for your social media posts. But yeah, we'd love to have you come out. We also are looking, of course, ahead to November, the Person Power Conference. Lots going on as always, but we just want you to and spread the word on the podcast if you like it. And I don't usually plug it, but if you like it and you want someone to listen to it, send it on. We'd love to have it sent on and appreciate all the support. Appreciate all the questions. Appreciate all the feedback. I really do. So, all right. So yeah, gala, put on your calendar, August 27th, first weekend in November, the first Thursday, Friday, Saturday of November, for the Person Power Conference in Wilmore, Kentucky. And I'm sure there'll be other things are coming here in the life of the Joshua Center. So, but we'll keep you posted and you keep listening and keep paying attention. All right. All right. Let me pray and we'll get going. We are in the book of Acts. Surprise, surprise. We have not finished it. We are, I think, going to get out of Acts 2 tonight, today, this morning, whenever you're listening to it. I think. We'll see. But let's pray first. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for the rain. We do pray for protection for all those that might be under flood watches and flood warnings. We want to make sure that people stay safe. Thunder in the background on cue. So we do ask and pray that you will help us to be safe here in the weather. But Lord, we thank you for weather. I thank you for thunderstorms and lightning and rain. I thank you for all that. I do. So ask and pray your blessings upon it as we continue to pay attention to the weather. We do pray for those still suffering and struggling with flood damage just a couple of weeks ago, at least locally here. So, but we turn our attention to the podcast. On this podcast, we will, I think, wrap up Acts 2 to move to Acts 3 next week. But we do ask and pray, Lord, that you bless, encourage, strengthen. May we lean into the Word of God. May we glean out of the Word of God. And Lord, may we continue to be grown and be just deeply, deeply discipled and deeply transformed by the Word of God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We trust you. And we pray all this in Jesus, your mighty and holy name. Holy Spirit, have your way. Amen. All right. So I want to take a look at just one passage, it might be the consummate passage of Acts 2. It might be the quintessential verse that defines Acts 2, that obviously we talk a lot about the tongues landing on the head and all that. But I think this is probably the passage of scripture that we kind of all gravitate toward. At least I know I do at times. So I think it's fair to say Acts 2:41 might be the verse of Acts 2. So it is the response. It is the consequence. It is the end result. And it's the consummation of that day. So look at this. Those who accepted his message, Peter's sermon message, we talked about the sermon for the last 3 weeks maybe. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow, that's a good day. That is a really good Monday. That's a good Sunday. That's a good Wednesday. That's a good any day in the life of the church and the life of the kingdom, certainly in the life of any pastor and certainly in the life of a preacher. I've preached a few sermons before. Never, ever, ever have I had a day like that. So let me tell you about a day like that. This the most similar day I've ever had like this. It was kind of a Pentecostal kind of day, and actually two kind of days. And let me tell you that. And then we'll jump into some other thoughts about this passage, just this passage. But again, it's pretty clear. This is the beginning of the church. It's not 3,000 exactly. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Their number meaning the apostles, the disciples, the followers of Christ. So you've heard me. Most of you have heard my story of Africa. When me and Merritt, our oldest daughter and the missionary now to Columbia, married to Jacob, they have Chasing Hope Ministries. Check it out. Check out Chasing Hope Ministries or chasinghope.org, I think it is. But check out Chasing Hope on the website and the Facebook page, and pretty good stuff there. They're doing great stuff in Columbia. So, but Merritt and I first went to Africa. I think she was 16 years old. So she's 30. So 14 years ago, my goodness, is it that long ago? So 14 years ago, ended up, I guess I was in Africa. And so preaching in Kenya, a little place called Saba Saba. And in fact, so it's Africa, the continent. Saba Saba was the community. And I was actually placing in a place, if I don't forget, Gachororo, I think. It's hard for me because there's lots of R's, and R's and me don't get along all the time because of the speech impediment years ago. But Gachororo. I think it's Gachororo or something like that. You know, but it's yeah. Remember Tuscarora? Some of you are like, oh yeah, Gachororo. I think that's it. Something like that. So I'm preaching at this community, and the first night I've told you the story, the first night kind of blew it. There were several thousand people that came because they blare the music for hours upon hours that day, and they're huge speakers. And people come from all over, and they come to listen. They come to hear the word, but they hear the music first. And there are several different speakers and different music people who come and dance and sing, and then the main attraction, quote unquote, is the preacher of the day. I happen to be preaching that festival, thanks to Wesley Paul and Ministries, Harrison Ndungo, dear friends. But we were preaching there, and as we were preaching, found out. Well, the first night was a bomb. It was a bomb. It was not good. I did not take my authority. That's a story for another time, or the story that you remember. I want to fast forward to the last night. The last night was, I think it was night four. I don't think it was a five-night revival. It was either a three-night revival or a four-night revival. I don't remember. I want to say four. I was full of confidence, brimming, man. I was brimming of confidence, full of the Holy Spirit. It had been a great week of preaching, except for that first night, which I had to learn how to take spiritual authority, which I did. A podcast of a different kind. However, a really good podcast, Take Spiritual Authority by the Power of the Holy Spirit. Really good lesson, really good biblical lesson. So that last night, I'm preaching, and I've thrown my coat off by now, I'm sure. And I'm preaching at the end, and I remember at one point, this crowd had swelled. I don't remember the exact number. Merritt might remember if you want to ask her, but I do think that at some point, I think the estimate, if I remember correctly, the estimate was 48 to 52,000 people. That was what the estimate was by maybe Harrison or some of the Afrikaners who were counting, because I sure didn't count and I had no clue how to count. But apparently looking at how they've seen crowds before, 48 to 52,000. So I'm preaching to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It was a blast. It really was. And I remember having so much boldness. I ran into the crowd at one point. I ran into the crowd and I started pulling people up to be prayed for. And I did, I will tell you, and again, we have to be careful with this. This is a, I know, this is a charismatic type of kind of worship. And I've told you before, I'm a recovering charismatic. And the reason I say that is because I think the charismatic movement, I think in many ways has really hurt Christianity. Just like I think Christian nationalism has hurt. We don't want a president draping himself with a flag and saying, and also with Jesus, the government and the Jesus. Enough said probably about that. That's probably already ticked somebody off. I'm just saying, Christian nationalism. We put a nation above the kingdom. We're wrong. There's no nation above a kingdom. Not even Israel is above the kingdom. But if there were a favorite nation, it wouldn't be the USA. Okay, if there was a favorite nation to Jesus, it would be Israel. And I don't care what you think about Israel and Palestine; it doesn't matter the politics. It just matters that's the nation of choice right now. That's the nation of choice then, and at some point, read Romans 9, 10, 11. It's the choice of nation before. It's a nation of choice coming up at a later date. So again, now I've ticked off 13 more people. I only have 12 listeners. Anyway, so all this to say, where was I? Oh, yeah. So we charismatic, we who lean in the charismatic, and that would be me. I can be an emotional worshiper. I believe in the Spirit with all I have. You know that. My goodness gracious. Come on. The Person of Power conference, the Person of Power book. Oh, wait, the Person of Power podcast that you're listening to. So absolutely focused on the Holy Spirit. But my goodness gracious, when we put tongues above everything else and we start dropping around, flopping like fish, when it really isn't necessary and it really isn't even of God. I'm not saying that it never is. Please hear me. I got thrown for a loop in Guatemala, and when I got baptized in the Spirit for the very first time, boom, I was thrown back by a 4'8" Guatemalan woman on the dirt floor. It was 52 degrees in a little tin hut, which was also filled with dried dung with a 32 watt bulb hanging over. I mean, it's just 4 and 5 in the morning. So I believe in the power of God 100%. I've seen incredible things, including what's going to happen in Africa here in just a second. But I'm just saying, we charismatics just can go a little bit cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and we just need to be careful with that. We really do. So I'm walking around, I'm pulling people up. I remember, you know, it's kind of easy, unfortunately, in this area of Africa, alcoholism was huge. And I knew that going in. So it was kind of easy to pull people out and say, I think you're struggling with alcohol. I don't want to say that the Holy Spirit gave me a revelation or gave me a word. But it was pretty clear that a lot of people were struggling with alcohol. And so I'd call people up, we need to pray for him for alcohol. But there were also people that I did not know that were not saved, but I felt like the Lord said they're not saved. So I'd pull them up and said, I think you need to come to Christ. And they would come up and come to Christ. Now, is that the best way? I don't know. Are they under compulsion now? Maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying, that was 14 years ago. All I'm saying is this. I weaved and wove my way through that crowd. And I just think about the 3,000 on that day. And there were thousands. There were 48 to 52,000 people. And at one point, I think I was body surfed at one point. I think they put me up on somebody's shoulder and they started moving me on other people's shoulders. I was full of confidence, brimming, man, with confidence. And again, that's the largest crowd I remember ever preaching to. And again, I think that crowd on Pentecost was huge, not just 3,000. There are some estimations that crowd was 300,000. And if it's 300,000, then you've got 10% of the people coming to Christ. 1%, I'm sorry, 1%, right? Yeah, 1% of the people coming to Christ. Is that right? I think that's right. Somebody with quick math skills, boom, go. So all this to say, the second moment I remember, Grant Bells and I, we were the clergy lead at Camp Freedom, which was just again, amazing ministry. It's now morphed into Camp Rise Up, And I think Angie and Tony Wagner still run that and lead that. So, but again, I just know lots of good fruit came out of Camp Freedom in the day. And me and Coy were in the water one time, I remember, and there have been a few others in there. Grant. Me and Grant Bells were in there. And Coy may have been in there at one point, but there are a few others that may have come in there. But me and Grant were in there the longest. We were in there maybe 5 to 6. I want to say, somebody check me if you were there, almost 7 hours in the water, shriveled prunes. We were, both of us probably had to pee, but we obviously didn't want to do it there. Baptizing kid after kid after kid after kid. Obviously now we were taking more time with each kid, right? We weren't just like boom, 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 you know. But it was crazy how long we were in the water baptizing, I don't know, 80 kids. I want you to hear that. How in the world did 3,000 people get baptized in one day? I don't have an answer for you. You're waiting for me to answer the question? How in the world did 3,000 people get baptized in one day? I don't know the answer to that question, guys. I don't. Friends, I have no clue. Do I doubt it? Absolutely not. Scripture says, those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to that number that day. I do not know the answer. That's one of the questions that I think will remain a mystery. Grant Bells and I were in water at Lincoln State Park for probably 5, 6, 7, maybe 7 hours. Seriously, maybe 7 hours. And it was all we could do to baptize less than 100 kids. I don't know. I have no clue except, now we spent time with each kid. And we spent time talking with them and making sure they understood what baptism meant. Here could have been the cleansing pools in and around Jerusalem. Could have been. They all went and they kind of baptized themselves. No one ever said that they were baptized by someone else. In fact, there's really no reference to John the Baptist when he baptized. I don't think he put hands on them. I think he was just kind of overseeing. They were baptizing probably just by going into the water themselves, guys. Yeah. Probably face first, come out. You know, probably not backwards. Probably just, boom, go forward and come out, right? So we've added to that. Of course we've added to that. Good, bad, or ugly, we've added to baptism. Oh, my goodness, good, bad, and ugly, we've added to baptism. I'll come back to baptism if we have time in just a second, but I want to finish up with this moment of time. So 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Goodness gracious, that preaching. You know, I was asking Asbury the first couple of years I was there. I think we were given a survey. Would you rather preach to 1,000 people and bring some to Christ, or would you rather have a Bible study of 10 people and teach them to go deeper? Now, at the time, no question, 12 times out of 10, it was, I'm preaching to 10,000 people, 1,000 people, I'm bringing every one of them to Christ. Not even a question. Today, as the spiritual director of the Joshua Center, a deep, deep discipleship training, Bible college, if you will. It is a Bible school. It is a Bible school. I can't say the word college or, you know, because of accreditation, but it is a Bible school. Deep, profound teaching, as you'll talk to anybody about it. I love teaching. 30, 40, 50 in a class at times. Now, total number of students we have is 80 plus right now, I think. We've had obviously well over 200-300 so far, whatever it's been, and people being ordained. But I want to tell you, just to sit there in a whole day, and talk through, pray through, and teach some of the deep, deep, deep things of God with 30, 40 people, I don't know if I've ever had that much fun in my life. Seriously, I don't think I've had that much fun ever. But this is why the body of Christ is so important. There are people, and I still think I can, I love preaching 10 events and 10 revivals. And I love it. Absolutely love it. We've preached several here, and I know Asbury has started a tent revival or a tent meeting, and the first year was this year. And I know when I had lunch with David Watson last week, I think it's going to continue. It's going to continue. So I love preaching tents, and I think one time I had a 1 hour and 58 minute record preaching under 145 degree temperatures and sweltering heat and humidity. Just a lot of fun. But I don't think I've had more fun than when I'm teaching in a group of about 40 or 50 people. Wow. I don't know where you're called into the kingdom, but I just know that when I read this, that there were 3,000 added. There had to have been thousands and thousands in that temple area when Peter was laying that sermon down, man. He was laying the wood down. He was preaching that sermon. I just wonder how many times. You know, I've thought a thousand times, man, I would have loved to preach that sermon. Man, I'd love to preach the thousands. And I have 48 to 52,000 in Africa, but nothing has given me more joy lately than teaching at the Joshua Center, teaching just a class. Crazy good when you go so deep. I said, for me, it's crazy good when you go so deep. So yeah, teaching is different. Discipleship, you know, preaching is different than teaching, and teaching and preaching different a little bit than discipleship and growing people, one-on-one mentoring, things like that. So my hope, my prayer is that you just ask the Holy Spirit, where are you called? It may not be any of those things, maybe something different. But my point is this, where are you called to grow the kingdom? Where are you called to add? Listen, this is it. Where are you called to help add to the number? Where are you called to help add to the number? Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Let me ask you one more time, clear for those in the back. Where are you being called to add to the number of the church? Where are you being called? Ask the Holy Spirit. Amen. I told you I'd come back with baptism if I had a moment. I do. I have about three or four moments maybe. So, baptism, a couple of things. I've done, I don't know how many infant baptisms in my life. And a family just came to me just recently and asked if they could do a dedication instead of a baptism. I said, well, sure. I don't get stuck up on language anymore. I don't get hung up on that. However, I would say this, because one of the argument was, hey, we would just want this child to make their own decision for Jesus when they get older. Amen. Like every other adult has to. No child, no baby has ever made a decision for Jesus. I don't care how much water you pour on their head. So if you take baptism, if you take salvation out of the connotation, out of the loadedness of the word baptism, you take salvation out, then guess what? You can baptize babies all day long, because those babies aren't being baptized for salvation anyway. Just like no adult is being baptized for salvation. Not a single adult has ever been baptized for salvation, meaning they had to be baptized or they wouldn't be saved. That is heresy. I'll say it loud and clear for those in the back again. I know, I think I ticked a whole bunch of people off at the beginning. If you stuck around, you're probably hanging up by now. So I'm just saying, there's the only way you're saved is by the blood of Jesus. Now, is baptism important? Sure, absolutely. But just as I've kind of walked through my own theology, you know, just like we've said before 1,000 times with different people and at the Joshua Center, I've said before, you have to come into the Joshua Center with a lot of humility. Prideful people will not survive the Joshua Center. Arrogant people will not survive the Joshua Center. Spiritually prideful, arrogant Christians, uppity, snooty, snotty Christians will not survive the Joshua Center. We ask people to lay their theology down, just like the instructor, just like the spiritual director, yours truly, and let God shape it with his word. Not theology, not theology from a denomination, not theology from past experiences or past teachings that may or may not be right or wrong. So again, we invite people to come and lay their theology down, maybe even the theology of baptism. Let me say this. Let me drop this one. This will be good. I think I did this at the Joshua Center not too long ago, and people were like, wait, you can't do that and stop. Well, I can, because I got a minute and a half left. Or about 2 minutes. So look at Matthew 3. Look at Luke 3. John the Baptist is promoting someone greater. Someone say greater. Greater. there's someone going to be greater. In fact, I'm not even worthy, John said, to untie the sandals, right? But there's someone greater coming after me. I only baptize with water, he said. That's what John said in Matthew 3 and Luke 3. I only baptize with water, but there's one coming after me, greater than me, who's going to baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. Boom. So let me ask you a question. Riddle me this. The Great Commission. Go into all the world. I'm going to call up just to make sure I've got it right, because I want to make sure it's absolutely right. Look at this. Go into all the world. Yeah, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So John the Baptist promoted someone greater. Jesus, as far as we know, in fact, it says in Scripture, Jesus never baptized anyone, not with water. The baptism of the Spirit, we know, is by far much more important than the baptism of water. I'm not trying to discount the baptism of water, but you are not saved by baptism of water. And the Great Commission, why would Jesus go backward? Why would Jesus command a lesser baptism? Some of y'all yelling, heresy, heretic, burn him at the stake. Why would Jesus, who is the greater one, who came to baptize with Spirit and fire, tell his disciples, now baptize with the baptism of John, baptize them with water? Isn't the Spirit baptism greater than the water baptism? The things we have to think about and ponder. Anyway, there you go. Leave you that conundrum. Love you guys. Be blessed and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Tim is the co-founder and teaching director of the Joshua Center, a leadership training ministry which provides deep biblical roots to great movements of God. He's also the senior pastor of Frimmer's Chapel, a country church by a creek, reaching 13 countries on 4 different continents for Jesus and his kingdom. Join us next time as we grow deeper in the person and the power.